Change can happen over the years to some of our favorite old familiar sayings. And I know all of you have heard the forceful expression, make no bones about it. Well, it was perfect for fitting with our sermon. So I looked it up on the internet. In our day, to my ears at least, this means to make no mistake about it, to don't doubt what I'm going to tell you next. You make no bones about it when you pledge yourself to an idea or an action or a belief. But you know, the expression make no bones about it started out very differently. Make no bones about it was a description of polite acceptance, not forceful determination. You see, in medieval times at suppers, as the dinner guests lined up to have their bowls filled from a common pot, it was inevitable that some would gain a nice meaty chunk in their bowl while others would end up just with a bare cooked bone. The mentality of make no bones about it cautioned the dinner guests not to complain about the contents of their soup bowl. They were not to grumble to their host about getting a dry bone instead of a more meaty morsel. To make no bones about it could translate into an acceptance of gross inequalities in civil life, an order that kept people in their place at that time. Yet over the course of 500 years, the phrase has moved from politeness to a declaration of strength and assertiveness. Now, today's lesson provides one of the most memorable visions found in all of biblical prophecy. Yet, because Ezekiel's Valley of the Dry Bones is one of the most familiar of the biblical images, we sometimes forget how astonishing or even shocking this prophet's words were to the exiled Israelites that he addressed. Ezekiel's vision is described in verses 1 through 10 of this passage, and then comes a series of interpretive statements in which God translates those images into a prophetic word. God asked Ezekiel if such bleached out bones can live again, and the prophet wisely refuses to make any prediction except, O Lord God, you know. Indeed, if Ezekiel is God's guest at this barren place, the prophet embodies the medieval meaning of making no bones. If God sets nothing but bones before him, Ezekiel won't complain about the desolation that he faces. He'll humbly submit to God's power and God's possibilities. Well, Ezekiel finds himself in the middle of a valley surrounded by bones. Under God's watchful eye, the prophet's given an extensive tour of the desolate location and impresses upon him both the great number of bones and their complete desiccation. This is a dry, lifeless, barren valley. First, the disconnected, jumbled bones are knit back together under Ezekiel's first prophecy. But it takes another prophecy of God's Spirit to bring them back to life. Now, having both observed and participated in this astonishing kind of scene, Ezekiel is now told by God exactly what the vision means. The huge number of bones now reanimated that filled this valley are now revealed as none other than the whole house of Israel. For Ezekiel's generation, exiled after the Babylonian triumph, Israel was in a bad place. Israel felt hopeless. Israel saw itself as a people completely cut off from their homeland and from their God. Now, God refutes here Israel's despair, and he offers the people new hope. First, there's the promise of new life. Opened graves in the restored land of Israel. Not only does God promise the physical restoration of Israel, but God pledges that in that renewed life, in that renewed land, all of Israel shall know that I am the Lord. Now, the redemption of scattered, lost Israel won't just be physical. It'll be spiritual as well. And the final word then is finally added, describing the most important element called the wind, or God's Spirit. The word was pneuma. In the indwelling of this Spirit which enables Israel to live and know the Lord. Now, make no bones about it, God wants to shake them bones. God wants to shake up the dead, dried up Israelites, but getting them bones to shake is a fourfold kind of experience. Deaf bones speak to them bones. Blind bones blow on them bones. Broken bones set them bones. And divided bones connect them, different bones. First, let me say, talk about speak to them bones. We have to notice as we look at this lesson, in Ezekiel's vision, God doesn't let this polite prophet off the hook that easily. Instead of using the divine hand to raise up those scattered bones, God insists that the feat is accomplished in part by the prophet's voice. If Ezekiel had refused to speak up and speak out, prophesying before that bone-whitened valley floor about their new sinews and flesh and skin, if he hadn't said something, nothing would have happened. It's only when, as God directed him, that and Ezekiel spoke up, did that miracle begin to occur. And once Ezekiel spoke to them bones before his eyes, the transformation from bones to bodies took place. And it took place so rapidly that the prophet's ears were assaulted with the rattling of thousands of bones hurrying to join themselves together. Now the second part of this fourfold experience is blow on them bones. As astonishing as the recreation of bodies from bones may have been, Ezekiel could see that he was still facing a lifeless sea of corpses, for there was no breath in them, or there was no spirit in them. God's voice continued to instruct this prophet, demanding that he speak up again. This time he was to call upon, to prophesy forward the arrival of the divine breath, the divine spirit of life itself, carried from the four corners of God's creation. Make no bones about it that without the divinely gifted breath of life, those bones would never live again. Structurally, those bodies were now intact, but spiritually they were still dead. Inanimate sacks of flesh. Third, we come to set them bones. Now, back in the early days of this country, besides physicians and surgeons, there were those known as bone setters, whose expertise lay in the skeletal anatomy and muscular massage. In a much more physically demanding 19th century world of work, broken bones were hardly something that was unusual, but they were often disastrous. Not only could a broken arm or a leg cause great pain, forced unemployment and loss of wages, but a mishandled broken limb could heal improperly, causing a lifelong disability or even a gangrenous infection or death. Each time that bone setter aligned the broken bits of a limb, you were entrusting him with your future life of work and wages and well-being. Now, the Greek term for setting bones is derived from the same Greek root we translate as to equip. Fishermen repairing their frayed and frazzled nets equipped them or mended them back together. In the same way, the old-time bone setters who skillfully joined together a farmer's broken leg was helping to equip that farmer for a lifetime of hard walking behind the plow and over his fields. Ezekiel was a bone setter himself. Ezekiel equipped his people, the frightened, depressed, dry bones of an exiled, beaten down, landless Israel. He helped them by setting those bones back together again. You see, Ezekiel's vision from God offered hope for the future, for strength regained, and for a homeland reborn. And Ezekiel's vision didn't forget, which must be central to every human repair effort, that the spirit as well as the body be mended and made whole again as well. Well, fourthly and finally, connect them different bones. Now, truth be told, for most of us, there's probably only one reason we remember the prophet Ezekiel, and that is from the old song that I've asked the choir to help me with, if you would. Glad I didn't sing. Now that African-American spiritual, which kind of doubles as a crash course in anatomy, caught both the peculiarity and the power of Ezekiel's vision so perfectly. And it put into such an unforgettable and fun tune that we all love to hear and sing about them bones. Now it may not have been as precise as Gray's Anatomy, but everybody had a picture of a complete human skeleton dancing around when the song was concluded. It's not until all the different parts of the body are connected that we have a fully functioning body here. The one body is comprised of many different parts, all obediently fulfilling their roles, and none separate from the other parts. Each different part, each piece of the body has a piece of the action. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at this lesson and to apply it to the church in our world today. My friends, God wants us to shake up them bones. Them bones that is the church today. To bring life where there is none in this world that is way too often too dark for us. As the body of Christ, we must be connected. All of us. We need to function as God wants us to. Not just when we're here in this building, but all over out in our lives. We need to nurture our relationships so that we can minister to one another. That's something we need to work on. I pray that God's Spirit come from the four winds and breathe upon us that we might live. Amen. This morning as we